This is episode 37 of Everyday Wellness, Finding Balance in Acupuncture and Infertility with Ali Damron. I'm Dr. Kelly Donahue, clinical health psychologist and change coach, here with my co-host Cynthia Thurlow, nurse practitioner and functional nutritionist. Together, we have over 25 years of experience in wellness, nutrition, coaching, nursing, and psychology. Our goal at Everyday Wellness is to share easy strategies to help as many people as possible become healthier. You can help us attain this goal by leaving us a rating and review on iTunes. The process takes just a few minutes, and it allows our podcast to be seen when listeners like you are searching for high-quality health and wellness podcasts. We are so grateful that you're here and for taking time to leave us a review. Now, let's get started.
Welcome to Everyday Wellness. Wellness is the result of the decisions that you make every day. It's your mindset and the thoughts you believe. Wellness is the food you put in your body and the relationship you have with yourself and others. Wellness is your work and meaning. Join us on Everyday Wellness as we explore ways that you can choose wellness today. Morning. We have Ali Damron today. She's a wife and mom to two sweet little boys, another mom of all boys. Do you notice this reoccurring theme, Kelly, that's going on with us? Ali is a licensed acupuncturist and a certified personal trainer. Family and health are her top values, which we love. She has worked with a large population of people in different settings throughout working as a trainer and a counselor, a wellness coach, and now finally an acupuncturist in private practice who specializes in women's health, including everything from painful periods and fertility, hormone balancing, weight loss, pregnancy, and postpartum, all the way to menopausal symptoms. That is quite a array of age span for there. Yeah. Her mission is to educate women about the importance of health and teach them how to be healthy. Welcome, Ali.
Thank you.
We're so glad to have you.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Okay. Well, can you start out just by telling us a little bit about how you became interested in health and wellness and then how you ended up where you are today?
Yeah, of course. So I grew up in Western Nebraska, which is a place that's not super into wellness. And it was not ingrained in my well-being as a kid at all. And so I watched a lot of family members go through health issues and things that I was like, geez, at a certain point, shouldn't some of these be preventable, or is this just what I have to look forward to as an adult? And so through there, I just kind of became interested in maybe there was an alternative way to treat some of these things with nutrition and herbs and medication or just lifestyle things. And so I became interested in more like exercise, and as a sophomore in college, I became a certified personal trainer. And then from there, I trained people and I realized that, you know, exercise was wonderful, but a lot of these people that I was training were having health issues as well, and maybe needed something other than just exercise. And so I became interested in yoga. And then from there, met people that were interested in alternative healthcare, and I tried acupuncture. And the first time I did acupuncture, I left and I had never felt so good. I'd never felt like the endorphins like that, and just I felt different. And so I knew that there was something into that. And I also can say that my two acupuncturists that I went to were the healthiest looking people I'd ever seen. And so I was like, well, there probably is something to this. So I just kind of became interested that way, and one thing kind of led me to the next, and here I am today.
Oh, that's wonderful. So it's interesting. I have started doing acupuncture, and, you know, being Western medicine trained, and poor Kelly hears me say that a lot, but it's really to reemphasize the fact that we don't focus enough on tapping into that parasympathetic process. And so when I leave my acupuncturist's office, it's like I've had a delicious nap. I'm just so relaxed and so centered and so grounded, which I just... For me, being a little sympathetic dominant, it's not a bad thing. It's profoundly beneficial.
Yeah, totally.
So I know you're another mom to all boys. You have two little boys. How do you find balance between being an entrepreneur and being a mom? How are you able to successfully navigate that?
So this has been probably the most difficult thing in my whole life to navigate. I think I'm always trying to find different ways to have good balance. And I know that this time of the year, everyone's kind of talking about the word of the year. And my one for 2018 was intentional, because I felt like in 2017, I was really working when I was supposed to be present with my kids, and neither had strict boundaries between them. They were always blurred together, and I was being short with my kids when I was frustrated with work, or vice versa. And so I have really worked and sat down at the drawing table 100 times and tried to figure out, you know, these are the hours that I work, and tried to batch work and be really intentional about that. And then having like weekends, and typically Mondays and Fridays are days that I actually unplug and just spend time with my kids. My oldest is in kindergarten part-time, and my youngest goes to daycare Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays. So those days I typically try to work basically 12 hours for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so that I can stay intentional with them the rest of the time. But it's constantly changing and evolving, just like business is constantly changing and evolving and needing different time or different amounts of time from me. So it's a constant thing that I'm constantly revisiting. How about you guys?
Well, that's a good question. Kelly, you want to answer that first?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I really resonate with what you said about it being a constant flux. Even though you're setting aside certain days of the week for certain things, I feel like I get into trouble when I'm not flexible. Like when I see things as too black and white, knowing, and also, you know, not beating up myself too much when there are times when I can't do that activity with my son that I would want to do. So there's a bit of that too.
Yeah, I can totally see that. You know, I think as moms, we're being constantly pulled in different directions, and feeling like with school activities, especially now that I'm in that realm with my oldest, constantly like I can't volunteer for everything and be there, and learning when to say no and when to say yes, and all of that is hard.
And I find, you know, for me, I think in my mind, I thought it was more challenging when my kids needed me to be more hands-on, like physically had to be there because they'd stick their finger in a light socket or, you know, they'd pull all the toilet paper out and put it in the toilet or those kinds of things.
Oh, like those things really happened. Come on now.
Yeah.
That happened yesterday.
Yeah. But now I have a teen and a tween. And so the issues become different. I mean, it's challenging in different ways, because when they come to me and need to talk, it's generally about more like it's important in a different way. It's not suggesting one is less important than the other, but, you know, my 13-year-old was, having trouble sleeping because he was stressed about a class. That was a new thing for me. And then, you know, getting him the support that he needed. And of course he's thriving and doing well. And it's not even like, sometimes we as people, we as humans will worry about things that aren't really an issue. But, I just find that the being present part is becoming more and more important, because they can tell. Like when they were younger, they might have been distracted by a toy or something else, but now they really do see, and they'll comment if I'm on my phone, or they'll comment if I'm doing something on Instagram. I mean, last night is a good example. My 11-year-old, who's kind of a pill, that's just his personality. He looked at me and he's like, "You did not give me my explicit permission to use my photo on Facebook." And I just looked at him and my husband was like, maybe that debate club wasn't such a good idea because he's becoming even more assertive. But the point is that, you know, they're the things that I find challenging is that I no longer have an hour or two after they go to bed to work. Mm-hmm. That's gone because now oftentimes they go to bed after me because I go to bed so early.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. Oh, that's really challenging. Biggie. Yeah, it's huge. And then the other thing is their commitments to sports become all weekend. Like we just had a 3-day swim meet and my husband and I had to alternate because the swim meet was at a university 45 minutes away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your kid will swim for a total of 10 minutes one day, but you have to be there for a chunk of time because you just do a lot of waiting when you're a swim parent.
Yeah.
But it's the realizing that somehow you have to get everything done and there's less time to get it done. And that's what it has been the biggest challenge for me personally. I tend to be a little OCD. And so I want to get it all done. And now I just have to say, okay, the top three things have to get done. Mm-hmm. And then I need to let the rest go and just put it out of my head. But yeah. Being an entrepreneur is definitely challenging for anyone that is listening that is an entrepreneur or a working parent. It's no joke. Whether you're a stay-at-home parent, you're also working. It's just being a parent can be challenging to say the very least.
Sometimes, yeah.
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 Well, let's switch from that to the what you're balancing the family part with. So can you tell us a little bit more about acupuncture and how you use acupuncture to enhance health and really talk about the symptoms and conditions that you enjoy treating?
Yeah. So I, in a nutshell, I specialize in women's health, but I really like treating women who, of all ages, who are kind of in like what Cynthia said, that sympathetic nervous system dominant state. I think that acupuncture is amazing for, like she said, relaxing and getting our nervous system calmed down. And I think that with that, becomes mostly all the issues that I see between like HPA axis dysfunction and adrenal fatigue and hormonal issues. All of these different things that we as women deal with on a regular basis, I think are
one of the most common concerns I see in perimenopause and menopause is hair loss, hair breakage, hair shedding. And knowing that over 80 million Americans are impacted by this is both reassuring, but it's wonderful to know that there are products available that can help with these symptoms. Divi is good for those with hair shedding or thinning due to stress in perimenopause or menopause. They can be helpful for addressing dry scalp. And have you wanted to take control of your hair health but aren't sure where to start? This is where a Divi can be hugely impactful. I love their scalp serum. And we know that the scalp serum improves the appearance of breakage, nourishes our hair follicles, and removes product and oil buildup. There are some key ingredients, including tea tree oil, which works to reduce and prevent excess oil buildup on the scalp, amino acids that help to strengthen hair, fight frizz, which is my greatest concern, and reduce breakage, and copper tripeptide 1, which is a small protein composed of the 3 amino acids to facilitate a clean and hydrated scalp, as well as hyaluronic acid, which is nourishing and hydrating to our scalps. As I mentioned, Divi is not just for those experiencing hair loss. I have found it to be hugely helpful for scalp health, and all of Divi's products, including their shampoos and conditioners, come together to create a full daily solution that helps women nourish their hair and get to the root of scalp health. Do you want to take back control of your hair and scalp health and do it with clean, science-backed ingredients? Go to diviofficial.com/Cynthia or enter Cynthia at checkout for 20% off your first order. That's diviofficial.com/Cynthia for 20% off your first order. As I mentioned, my favorite product is the scalp serum. And now that we're in the deep throes of winter weather, it is so wonderfully nourishing and moisturizing. Weight gain is one of many symptoms that our hormones are in decline, especially as we navigate perimenopause into menopause. Dr. Anna, who is a great friend of mine, is an OBGYN who's treated thousands of women just like you and I who experience increasing dryness and even pain in the bedroom as they get older. Jolva is the solution Dr. Anna formulated for her own clients, and it has since been loved by over 100,000 women. It's a feminine cream with DHEA that helps the body regenerate moisture from the inside out. 92.8% of Jolva users experienced a significant improvement in the first 4 to 8 weeks. Get 10% off your first purchase of Jolva by using the link dranna.com/Cynthia. That's dranna.com/Cynthia and get 10% off your first purchase.
Largely ignited by the fact that we are under a lot of stress and anxiety and trying to do everything and feeling overwhelmed. So I think acupuncture is great for balancing hormones and helping fertility. And there's so many actual physical things that it does. But I really love to sit with my patients and talk about their life and what they're feeling stressed about, and just really giving them that time to feel safe and calm and do self-care and explain the importance of that. That's been absolutely like monumental in my own life with healing from HPA axis dysfunction and all of those different things. I was doing all the herbs and eating pretty well and exercising appropriately, but I was not getting the more like self-care, calm aspect of my life under control. And so that's what I'm super passionate about, is helping women realize that they need to take breaks from things and do self-care. And acupuncture is amazing at getting us out of that sympathetic nervous system dominance.
Well, and it's interesting, just for the listeners, so when Allie refers to HPA, it's hypothalamus pituitary axis. And so it's a portion of our brain that governs much of the endocrine system, so hormones and things like that. And I 100% agree with what you're saying, that when people know that they've got an endocrine issue or they have an adrenal health issue, if they're not being fully cognizant of this mind-body connection, that you can take all the herbs and eat all the carbs and you know, back down on your exercise and do all those things, but if you're not actually actively taking care of yourself comprehensively, you're not going to get better. And that's the piece that for a lot of people that are sympathetic dominant, meaning that they're go all the time, they don't relax, can be really, really challenging. Kelly, I'm sure you probably see some of this in your clinical practice too. You know, people that struggle with the self-care piece, you know, they don't want to do meditation, they don't want to do gratitude journaling, they don't want to go to bed earlier, you know, they don't want to relax, you know, they just want to go, because then they don't have to focus on what is the issue.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Well, I think one of the beautiful things about acupuncture, and I learned this myself, was that it forces you to slow down, because when you have needles poked into you, you can't move, right? So if you're in this very relaxing space and you're forced to stay there, and then the acupuncture is working its magic, I mean, I think it's just a really powerful combination. And it worked for me. I used acupuncture to help get pregnant, and I also used it when it was time for me to deliver. I actually had my first contraction when I was in the acupuncturist's office on purpose. Yeah, it was, she wanted to start 2 days before my due date to induce labor, and it worked like a charm.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Yeah, I love to do those treatments too. Sometimes I'll go into hospitals if women are being induced or their labor has stalled also, and do those treatments. It worked for me in my own labor too, so I'm a big fan of doing that treatment as well.
And yeah, I think it's just so powerful to give that to women at a time when they feel so out of control with what their body's doing.
Yeah, I'll admit, I was still really like hardcore Western medicine focused, and all I know is my water broke and I went to the hospital, and all I kept saying was, I want my liter of fluid so I can get my epidural. So I wasn't thinking about anything other than pain control.
Yeah, totally.
So you treat women for fertility and kind of reproductive issues through the whole spectrum. What do you see as contributing factors to problems with reproductive capacity?
Yeah, so I think, you know, that's a multifaceted question. So I think in general, you know, insulin and cortisol production has a lot to do with our body's ability to reproduce. I think that when those adrenaline, insulin, and cortisol are kind of out of whack in certain ways, that then creates a more hormonal cascade of low progesterone and higher estrogen, which then leads to more ovulatory problems or not being able to hold a baby. And so I think in general, I work with PCOS is a huge one, and we work a lot with insulin with that and estrogen dominance conditions. And then, like I said, honestly, a lot of women, especially when they come for acupuncture, most of them have gone through either a long time of trying to get pregnant or Western medicine fertility treatment. And unfortunately, a lot of them use acupuncture as like kind of a last resort. And so I think stress plays the biggest role in mm-hmm. trying to get pregnant, honestly. I think for both girls and men, even the male factor. Obviously, there's nutrition and lifestyle factors with sperm, but stress in general just creates such a place that's hard to get pregnant. If your body's in fight or flight constantly, reproduction is going to be the absolute last thing that it's focused on. And it's going to create low progesterone and hormonal issues as well. But like we talked about with acupuncture in general, just I have fertility patients come in weekly and we hit each phase of their menstrual cycle so that, you know, estrogen's regulated and then the ovulatory functions are regulated. And then we build a good endometrial lining and their periods become regular, and all of those things play a huge role. But really, they just need permission to relax, to do some stress management, learn some alternative ways to take care of themselves for hormonal regulation, and learn that women's bodies are made to do this. And a lot of them come in feeling really down and bad, honestly, about their bodies, and they lose faith in their body's ability to reproduce and get pregnant. And so it really is teaching them to love their body and to give their body good messages and give them more confidence that their body can do this. And to be honest with you, most people who you know, try for a long enough time end up getting pregnant eventually. And it's just tailoring the treatment to what they need. And maybe some of that is IUIs in Western medicine or IVF, or maybe they can just, you know, change their nutrition and their self-care and get rid of some estrogen dominance issues and conceive naturally. So I really have a pretty high success rate with it, but it is teaching women to, as you guys know, none of this is really mainstream information yet, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so it's really just teaching them new information about how to take care of their body.
And it's really so, it should be so simple, but in all honesty, I mean, even as a nurse practitioner, you know, I went through infertility treatments and was able mm-hmm. to conceive, but mm-hmm. was on a lot of drugs and went through a lot of technologies. I always tell my kids, you were definitely wanted. There was no question. It wasn't a mistake. Definitely wanted. But, you know, had I been aware that these were even options, I mean, that would have been a much nicer route to kind of go. You know, it's interesting, you know, when you talk about estrogen dominance, I think in particular, that's something that maybe listeners have or have not heard about. And mm-hmm. so I'd love to just kind of riff on that for a second, because estrogen dominance really is becoming problematic, you know, not only from the things that we're exposed to, not only in our environment, but in our foods and mm-hmm. personal care products. And so, you know, synthetic, you know, hormones that we're taking for years and years and years, and, you mm-hmm. know, a heavily unregulated personal care product, you know, industry, as well as the foods that we're consuming, can hugely influence a woman's, you know, preponderance towards being more estrogen dominant. Now, are you also doing labs? Is that being done as well, you know, in your clinical setting?
Yeah. So when a woman comes in, and it depends on each individual person, but mm-hmm. I think a day three, that's what I call it. So checking estrogen, luteinizing hormone, follicle stimulating hormone, DHEA. I think those are really important, AMH, to check mm-hmm. egg quality and estrogen levels and make sure that their ovulatory function is going well. So I do like to check those. And to be honest, I think those are great labs to have on most women. Just it gives us a good sign of health in our body. It tells us mm-hmm. how we're aging and in terms of egg quality, which I think if your eggs are prematurely aging, then the rest of your body probably is too. So I think that those are important. If someone's going through like infertility treatment and Western medicine, like IUIs or IVF, they're obviously getting those done there. And so we look at that there. Sometimes I can tell, and I'm sure you guys too, if someone's just having HPA issues or like, is sympathetic nervous system dominant, sometimes I treat them for just a few months first, especially if they haven't been trying for a long time, mm-hmm. and just see if we can get them calmed down and get things progressing naturally. But in acupuncture, it takes about 90 days to regulate a menstrual cycle due to the follicle production and how that whole process works. So I generally treat people for 90 days if I think it might just be that, and then if they still haven't conceived within that time frame, then we do a much deeper dive and do labs, and we can do progesterone at day 18 to 21 and really look into things.
Mighty Maca is a superfood drink mix full of 30 plus natural ingredients, and it was formulated by Dr. Anna Kabeca during her healing journey. Mighty Maca Plus ingredients, which include nourishing ingredients like organic maca powder, turmeric, quercetin, broccoli, parsley, trans resveratrol, pomegranate extract, and more, were carefully selected for immune support to sustain energy, provide mental clarity, and improve recovery. It also tastes delicious. It supports healthy detoxification and alkalinity in the body, balances hormones, fights free radicals, and neutralizes lactic acid, all while increasing your energy and vitality. It helps improve your digestion and reignites your libido. It's a powerful superfood drink mix that needs to be part of your daily routine. And Dr. Anna is offering my listeners 10% off your first purchase by using the link dranna.com/Cynthia. That's 10% off your first purchase by using the link dranna.com/Cynthia. It's delicious and nutritious. Consuming Element on a daily basis is one of my favorite ways to take care of my health. And we know that by consuming proper amounts of electrolytes, it can contribute to quality sleep, which is critical to all of my perimenopause and menopausal patients and clients. We know that magnesium increases a neurotransmitter called GABA that is known for producing calming effects. And consuming adequate levels of sodium can help you sleep through the night because low sodium levels increase cortisol and adrenaline. Additionally, if you are intermittent fasting, it's important to understand that when you fast, two things can dehydrate you. Number one, if your insulin levels remain low, it can signal to our kidneys to excrete more sodium or salt, a process called naturesis. And as glycogen or stored glucose is broken down, the water left over from the glycogen breakdown is urinated out. So if you want to take care of your health in one of my favorite ways, you can consume Element electrolytes. My favorite flavors are grapefruit and citrus, but there are many others to choose from. And if you go to drinkelement.com/Cynthia, you can get a free sample pack to try them out on your own. Again, it's drinkelement.com/Cynthia for your free sample pack where you can try all of their flavors.
No, that's really helpful. And are you using herbs concurrently with your clients?
I do use herbs a lot, never with fertility drugs, but if they're not on fertility drugs, then yeah, there's amazing herbs for, every different pattern and condition mm-hmm. out there. But in general, I like to do, we call them phase formulas. So like phase one is day one of your period, and you just work on, we call them blood builders. So, mm-hmm. you know, rich herbs that will help build good quality blood. And then phase two focuses more on increasing estrogen and getting the ovulatory function. Phase three is more about progesterone in the lining. And then phase four is more about kind of changing that estrogen dominance and boosting progesterone to have healthy periods and not having PMS symptoms and those things. So that's what I like to do for a lot of women, especially if it's not exactly clear why they're not conceiving.
And it seems that there's been more and more women who are struggling with getting pregnant and sustaining a pregnancy. Do you think that there's an actual increase in the number of women who are struggling, or do you think that the increase or the perceived increase is just due to a willingness of more women to talk about these things?
Yeah, I saw that question that you sent me, and I think that's super interesting. I think that it might be a bit of both. So I think, you know, we're exposed to a lot more chemicals, and, you know, our fight or flight response is definitely real nowadays. Even when we're scrolling the news, CNN website or something, there's no shortage of fear. And I think our brains are recognizing that. And maybe for some of us, when that is happening, conception is, like I said, the last thing on your body's mind if you're in fight or flight. But I also do think that due to social media and kind of a place that we are in a society right now where vulnerability is becoming more of an admirable quality, I do think that people are coming out, especially people of influence, are explaining and talking about kind of their journeys for infertility, which I think is amazing. I think that when you're in that place going through infertility, just even hearing like solidarity of women who have miscarried or are having trouble conceiving, like it can make you feel so much less alone. And I think fertility can be one of the loneliest journeys out there for some women. And so I think that kind of both are contributing to that. What do you guys think?
You know, I think the growing awareness is important, because I know, having gone through infertility myself, and if you know, look at my husband and I, we were fit in our 30s, but, you know, we were not the prototypical people you would have assumed would have struggled with infertility. But my husband was a hardcore triathlete, and so his sperm count was a little less than optimal, and I wasn't ovulating. And so, you know, I sometimes forget, you know, because that's so many years behind me now, I sometimes forget what that infertility journey was like. And I agree with you that it's important for women to be talking about this so that others understand and know that it's not that uncommon. But then the other question is, why is this so common that we're seeing this?
Yeah.
Which is a larger issue. But I do agree with you that transparency is important and relatability is important. And I just love that, you know, you're kind of in the trenches doing this work with women, because had I known that was even an option years ago, I think about the horrible drugs I took. Obviously, they weren't so horrible because I got pregnant. But, you know, between the side effects and everything else, that part of it wasn't so fun. Kelly, what do you think? Do you happen to have any clients that are dealing with these issues right now?
Yeah, I definitely do. And I think that one of the biggest issues for them is this feeling of responsibility and blame and guilt, and that something's wrong with them because this isn't happening for them. And so I think, like you mentioned, kind of having the support and taking time to understand them and what's going on with them, and to bring down that sympathetic response, because not being pregnant is a stressor in and of itself when you want to be, and feeling like you're doing something wrong or you're not enough. I mean, those are just, those are not baby making beliefs. Those are just, you know, not things that are going to help.
Yeah. Yeah. I really, in all my patients, but especially fertility and women who have miscarried, I really try to hit the mental health piece and try to give them positive affirmations of like, your body was made to do this. You can do this. Keep telling yourself that, and never give up hope if that's what you want in your life. Because in my perspective, you know, a lot of women go through fertility treatments and stuff, and In the end, I've heard so many stories, hundreds of fertility stories, and worked with women who, in the end, it wasn't that complicated. It really was like a cortisol issue or an estrogen dominance issue. And yes, they take time to work and come down and get things ready for baby making, but it's nothing that's ever like too far gone to fix, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's important. Just instilling that hope and having mm-hmm. the experience of working with so many women over time to say that this does work, that can be very powerful in and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So we've talked about the individual work that you do with clients. Can you tell us other ways that clients can get involved with you?
Yeah, so I do a lot of individual work, obviously, in my office in the Denver, Colorado area, and then I do one-on-one consults online also. And then I recently launched a program called Recharge with Results, and it basically has, I wrote it for over the course of a year, and I listened to all these like hundreds of different women's over the year and what they were telling me and talking about, and even through my own journey in healing and being more knowledgeable about health. I did this program to help women heal from burnout and adrenal fatigue and hormonal imbalances, and I went through five pillars in it after a little bit of education about why this is happening so much to women, talking about how important mindset is. And we talked about that a bit earlier, but when you're doing everything physically right, you're exercising right, and you're eating right, and you're sleeping and all that, if you're still berating yourself every day and being a perfectionist and very type A, you're not going to get very far. You can definitely make two steps forward with herbs and lifestyle stuff, but overall healing occurs when we also heal the way we talk to ourselves and the way we view the world. And so we talk about mindset a lot in that course. And then I go into nutrition and what healthy food truly is, because I know there's a lot of conflicting, confusing information on that. I've studied cellular nutrition for about a decade now. And we go through sleep, exercise, and then supplements and vitamins and herbs, so that, you know, there's also a lot of confusion with that. There's a million different products on the market, and I just kind of explain like what our bodies need and what would be a good waste or place to start with that, and how to just overall heal and feel less burnt out, less tired, sleep better, and be able to enjoy your life more.
That sounds like a fantastic program, and I think that
sign us
that
both mind, up.
Yeah, I think that mind body connection is really crucial. It, you know, we taped some earlier podcast episodes earlier this morning, and that has definitely resonated with every guest how important the mindset piece is. And it, I think it takes practicing for a while before, you know, perhaps that becomes as evident as it has, you know, certainly for me personally and professionally mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah.
But you're right. You can take prescriptions, non-prescription drugs, you can take lots of other, you know, items, but if your mind isn't in the right mindset, literally, it'll make it almost impossible to do the work and to do it effectively.
Yeah, I mean, and I can resonate with that 100%. Like, I even through acupuncture school, which we talk about mind body connection a lot in acupuncture school, and I still, you know, meditation and journaling and rest and self awareness and all these things were a huge part of it, and I just, you know, sometimes you're just not ready to hear the message. You want to do all the physical things, but you want to keep, you know, being really type A and being productive. And it's taken me a long time and a lot of personal development books and listening to podcasts and everything to finally have it kind of hit home and be like, okay, it's not that you're not going to be productive anymore and not going to do great things and big things. You're actually going to do bigger things when your mindset is right. But it's learning how to put your mask on first, so that you can be all things to everybody instead of the opposite.
So true. So true. Such good info. And we'd like to end by asking our guests to tell our listeners two things that they would recommend doing for health and wellness every day. So if you had two things to recommend, what would those be?
So I think, like I said, I think mindset has a big part of it. So on a very simple note, just practicing deep breathing. If you feel your adrenaline getting high or stressy, remembering to take 30 seconds and do some deep breathing to calm that down can be really helpful, I think. And secondly, this is kind of a bigger one, but focus on eating foods with like five or fewer ingredients. My husband and I like to call it the one ingredient diet, where we just eat food that has one ingredient. But you know, there are some good brands and products out there that are packaged or products that are decent products too. So, yeah, just focus on eating real whole food.
Mindset so and whole food that can get you a long way.
Yeah.
Can you let our listeners know how best to find you on social media, how to get in touch with you if they're interested in your programs or working with you?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm on Instagram at Allie Dameron. My website is just alliedameron.com. I have a podcast called The Allie Dameron Show on iTunes and Stitcher. And then Facebook, it's Allie Dameron Wellness Services.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for carving time out of your busy schedule, and thank your mom for taking care of your kiddos so that you can jump on with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful.
Thanks, Allie. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find out more about Cynthia and her work at chtwellness.com. And you can find out more about Kelly and her work at everydaytherapist.com. In addition, if you have questions for us or topics you'd like us to address, please email us at everydaywellnesspodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, be well.